You have to birth it. Amen. Job chapter 9, verse 33. Job 9:33. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let me read that again. I'm going to let you sit down. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. You can be seated. Job's request for a daysman to bridge the gap between humanity and the divine is a key moment in his story. If you didn't hear that because you were sitting down, I want to tell you this. Job was asking for someone to stand between him and God. And it is a key moment in his story. He says, there's no mediator between us. There's nobody to lay hands on both of us. Job understood that there was a distance between him and God, that he himself could not close that gap. And he is asking, he is requesting and stating that there's nobody to stand in the gap. Now, through this, we must understand that there are some people that have a quarrel with God. We must understand that there are some people that have differencing of opinions with God. There are some people that are enemies of God right now. There's some people that have been hurt by God, hurt by God's people. For different reasons, they have a quarrel with God. We as believers understand that if anybody has a discord with God, the problem is on them, not God. Why do we understand that? Because we understand the character of God. By knowing him, and once we know him, we know what he's like, we know his character, we know who he is, and this is what we have concluded. God is love. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Nobody can do you like Jesus can. Nobody can touch you like Jesus can. We know this through experience. Nobody can heal you like Jesus can. Nobody can feed you like Jesus. Nobody can quench your thirst like Jesus. Nobody can give you hope like Jesus. Nobody can give you comfort like Jesus. Nobody can give you power like Jesus. Nobody can give you anointing like Jesus. Nobody can keep you like Jesus. Nobody can restore you like Jesus. Nobody can revive you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like Jesus can. We know his character, and God is love. So if a person has a quarrel with God, it's a misunderstanding on their part. Can you say amen? If a person is an enemy of God, it is a misunderstanding on their part. Amen. Now we want God to change for us in situations. There are times when we would like God to change his mind on our behalf. The problem is, Darren, I can't change God one iota. I can't change him one bit. There is not a shadow of turning in him. And when we understand his character, we will understand this. When we understand his character, we will understand this. We don't want to change him one iota, because the God that I serve is absolutely perfect. I don't want to change his character. I don't want to change his plan. I want to align with that plan, because I know he said all things work together for the good to them that are called according to his purpose. If you love him, he's going to take care of you, because God is a good God. But people want to complain. God did this. It's amazing when you read insurance. They will list a bunch of horrible stuff, and then they say, or any other act of God. No wonder people struggle with him. Because we think that everything that bad happens, God was in control. Why would God allow this? Why would God allow that? Why would God allow this? Why would God allow that? Why do you allow what you allow? Because the truth is, God's got a perfect plan. And when we operate outside that plan, we are in trouble and we are in danger. Amen. But when we operate in his will, in his perfect will, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Let me say it like this. You are safe in the kingdom of the Almighty, and I don't want to change that. Now, sometimes we think that because we are saved, we have met the quota. We're at the pinnacle of it all. I gave my life to Jesus. That was the goal. I'm here, but I'm here to challenge you today. That is not the end of the issue. When you come to the altar and when you give your life to Jesus in your kitchen, if you pray in your car and you repent and you turn it over and you have a change of mind, you do not get a diploma from this church. You get a birth certificate because you haven't reached the pinnacle. You are just getting started. It is a new birth, and there is something for you to grow into. There is something for you to grow up into. There is something for you to mature to. God didn't call you to sit on a pew. He didn't call you to sit on a church. God didn't call you just to punch your ticket and rest forevermore. He called you to do a work for the kingdom, and I want to challenge you that that time is now. If you're not going to do it now, then when? Well, I'll tell you, preacher, when I get a few more things in my life figured out, then I'll be able to do it. Let him figure them out. You just be busy while he's working on you. Amen? We need to get rid of all the excuses because we got plenty of them. Amen. We need to get rid of the, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too this, I'm too that. You're too something all the time. He's too tired. He has too much energy. He ponders on things too long. He has ADHD and can't ponder on anything. Everybody's got an excuse. Amen. It's time for the church to get rid of the excuses because he said, through him, all things are possible. Job's praying for somebody to stand between him and God, somebody to fix the problem, to fix the struggle between he and God. I need somebody that can mediate between us. I need somebody that can stand in the middle. Job had, I don't know if he had any idea what he was praying for, but God had a mediator in mind before he ever spoke the first tree into existence. Because before the foundation of the world, there was a lamb that was slain. He knew that there was going to be a mediator between he and man, between humanity and the divine. There was going to be one that could put his hand on God and put his hand on the world and be the mediator. We have a mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. One mediator. But Dustin, he had to be able to relate to both sides. He had to be able to relate with God, and he had to be able to relate with man. To be the perfect mediator, to be a redeemer. He couldn't just be any kind of redeemer. He had to be a near kinsman redeemer. What a perfect plan. What a perfect plan. I have people ask me sometimes, this is a question that I get asked a lot. Why would God allow sin to enter into the garden knowing that sin would bring separation? It's because God had to give man choice. God had to give man choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. Did anybody make you come here today? If you're young, maybe. Listen, as a pastor, I want to say thank you, parents, that make your kids come to church. Amen? Because kids are kids, and that's why they need parents. Because they don't want to come to church sometimes. Amen? Makes me nervous about these. Leave it alone. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. Makes me nervous about people that won't parent their kids. I had a cousin, and when you ask her what she wanted to be when she grew up, this was her answer every single time. I said, Mandy, what do you want to be when you grow up? A tornado. Her childhood dream never came to pass. mean, her husband may think sometimes. She wanted to be a tornado. But eventually, parenting and teaching got her to realize she can't be a tornado. There's a thing in this world called common sense. It's just a side note. This ain't in my notes. I just want to let y'all know this. And the thing about common sense is it's not real common anymore. I want to be a cat. Okay, honey. Did y'all see the story where the man wanted to be a wolf and put on the suit and took hamburger out there and threw it to the wolves and got in the pack with them because he identified as a wolf? Even the wolves knew that he wasn't a wolf, so they attacked him. And the news asked him, said, do you think you'll go back out there? He said, I don't think they were very acceptable to me. Leslie, it's a scary time when animals have more sense than people. Amen. Amen. There's a part of you that you don't get to just be whatever you want to be. Since she was 3 years old, sitting on her daddy's knee, he said, you can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. No, you can't. Because if you be what you want to be, you're going to get yourself in a mess. And this is what people do. When they get in a mess, you know what they blame it on? They blame it on God. God's over here saying, I've got this place reserved for you, a place of safety, a place of peace, and a place of, and you're over here running around wondering, well, I don't know why God won't help me. Well, he's over there. Turn around, turn around, turn around, turn. That's what repentance is. It's turning around. Quit walking that way, wondering why God isn't that way. It's amazing to me that the atheist will say, I've never seen God. I've never seen God. And they keep looking that direction. And you say, turn around, and you'll see him. No, 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 I've never seen him. Just turn around. Just turn around. Change the way you think, because repentance is the way you think will change the way you live, which will change your outcome. A daysman to stand between. When an unbeliever, this is to the church, I want you to listen to me really careful. When an unbeliever doesn't have Jesus, they don't have a mediator. So they are on their own. So instead of Denise as the church sitting over and saying, I'm telling you right now, they're pitiful. That guy right there, he plumb goofy trying to be a wolf. It's all this stuff. It's all this identity stuff we got going on. He's ignorant. And it served him right. Some of y'all thought, well, good enough for him. I wish they'd have bit him harder. I know how you think. But there's something wrong. There's something wrong, and we are in an identity crisis. And I want to tell you who started this. It wasn't the liberals in Washington. It wasn't the liberals in California. It wasn't the liberals in Seattle. It was the devil. Oh, I'm going to try that over here. This identity thing didn't happen. Well, I tell you, preacher, everything bad comes out of California, and then it spreads across the country like a plague. They keep saying there's a fault line right there and some one day it's going to fall off. I wish you'd hurry up. You know why you're laughing? Because some of you thought that. It didn't start in California. It didn't start in Seattle. Tell you where it started. It started in the garden. It started in the garden where the devil moved in and tried to convince Eve that God was holding out on her. Ah, you won't surely die. He knows that you'll be like God. She was already like God. She was already made in the image of God. She was already there. But he tried to convince her that she didn't have, and God was holding out. I'm here to tell you, there's a world that thinks God is holding out, but we got to be the daysman. We got to be the betwixt. We got to be the one that is showing them there is a mediator. There is a new covenant. There is a new life. There is a new hope. There is a new power. There is a new joy. There is a new creation. There is new peace. There is new everything. But if they don't have Jesus, must be. Stand up there. See, everybody, look, Johnny, wave it. Wave, Johnny, wave it, everybody. I believe the description of God in the Bible is he has hair like wool, but this is the best I got right now. So if I'm going to get someone to the Creator, if I'm going to get somebody to the Creator, I have to go through the mediator. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So I've got to get the world to Jesus. So to get them to the mediator, I need to become a mediator. The only way you can become a mediator is you must be able to relate to the divine and you must be able to relate to humanity. Some of us have become so heavenly minded, we are no earthly good. We have justified our hate. We have justified our unkindness. We have justified a lot of things because we have not been in touch with the divine. Because let me tell you something about the divine. God loves them no matter where they're at, what they've done, and what they call themselves. We as a mediator has to realize to get them to the mediator, we've got to be a daysman between our mediator and those people that are lost. This is a lot of introduction because this ain't my sermon. But Sam told me that he preached an hour and a half one service and he said, I can go really long now. The answer is Jesus. So my key thing is to stay in touch with him. Because if I'm not in touch with him, it doesn't matter what I do for you. I can reform you. Can patch you up, can make you a little bit better person, but I can't redeem you, I can't reconcile you, I can't ransom you, and I sure can't fill you with his spirit. But I know one who can. So us as intercessors have a job to do. It is our job to bring supplication before God on behalf of the people. You can sit down for a minute, Johnny. I'll get you back up in a minute. Watch this. This is so good. Here's my sermon now. Y'all ready? Esther, chapter 4, verse 8. Esther, 4 and 8. Haman is about to destroy the Hebrews. Kevin, he's about ready to wipe them out. Also, he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them. To destroy them. This is the problem. This is what unbelievers don't understand. The devil that they are serving, his goal is to destroy them. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There are unbelievers that feel like they're living their best life, and it's a whole setup. The whole thing is a setup. Can I get an amen? Watch this. To destroy them, to show it to Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. For who? For her people. Who's your people? Who's your people? Oh, you got people, right? They're my peeps. Your peeps ain't my peeps. I mean, a couple of more. You got people that ain't my people. Let me tell you something about your people. Nobody will pray for your people like you will pray for your people. Nobody will pray and intercede for your people like you will pray and intercede for your people. When he gave this to Esther, knowing she's the queen, she has access to the king. She can get in there. And she knows that if the king doesn't summon her in, that she can lose her life. because he did not summon her. But Esther prepared herself, and she went into the king. The King James doesn't tell us this, but the Septuagint does. It tells us that when Esther went in, she was so weak from fasting that she fainted in front of the king. So she's fasting. She's praying. Why is she doing all this? Because she cares about her people. This is why the enemy wants to get rid of natural affection. In the last day, the Bible talks about not having natural affection. It'll be sons against fathers and mothers against daughters. And I'm telling you right now, we are living in that time. We're living in a time that I thought I'd never see. We're living in a time where I never thought it would be to the, I see a lot of single dads because moms have turned and walked away from their children. Listen to me, people, that's unnatural. And that doesn't come from California. That comes from the devil. That comes from the enemy. Why does he want to get rid of natural affection? Because he knows nobody will pray for a child like a child's mother will. So he's inserted these things to separate and cause things. It shouldn't be that way. There's a separation. It's not natural. But we're not dealing natural. We're dealing supernatural. So there's this God, this mediator that we need to stand between them and him. And the devil has issued this decree to destroy. But we are to go into the king to make supplication unto him for our people. You got lost people in your family? Nobody is going to pray for them like you're going to pray for them. I'm going to show you something interesting. Luke 22:44. And being in what? He prayed what? Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were. What is that? Great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus was in agony. And he went out there a little bit farther. He went a little bit deeper because he's in agony. He prayed more earnest. Who was he praying for? What was he praying about? Look around the room. If you want to know what he was praying about, look around. This is a result of that prayer. What you see in this room is a result of that prayer. So now you know why he was in great agony. Because he knew what he came to do. And he knew he was going to be the firstborn among many brethren. He knew. Let me tell you what Jesus was praying for in that garden. He was praying for a way to get through that for his kids. Here's what we do sometimes. Here's what we do. Y'all pray. Y'all pray for me and mine. Y'all pray for my kids. Y'all pray for my... And you know what? We leave this church and we don't pray for them very much. We fuss about it. Talk about it. We cry about it. But we don't pray about it. He never said, tell Esther to go in there and cry. He said, tell Esther to go in there and make supplication before the king. The king can do something about this. The king can rewrite this. The king can change it. Send her in there for her people. You following me? He's in agony. He's out there praying. Watch this. I used to think that if you had revival, everybody in the church would know it. I think, man, if everybody gets with it, man, we're going to have revival. I believe the purpose of God can be fulfilled, and some people will never even know it's happening. Why do you believe that? Watch this next verse. Verse 45. And he rose up from prayer, and he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. He's in agony. He's praying. He's pouring out his heart until his sweat becomes great drops of blood. And just right beside of him, a little ways, they are sleeping. I'm convinced that you can be in the middle of intercessory prayer for your son, for your wife, for all the things that you, because those are your people. And I am convinced that you can be right in the middle of that with agony and trial, and you can be asleep. But what I want to do is tell you this. You may be able to sleep on his prayer, but you can't sleep on your prayer. You can sleep on what he's supposed to be praying about, but you cannot wake up. Wake up. You can't sleep on what you should be praying for. Wake up, man. Wake up. Wake up. That nobody's going to pray for your people like you're going to pray for your people. He's fulfilling his calling. He's being a mediator. He's going between the mediator and the people that he loves. Those are his people. And you can sleep while he's doing that, but you can't sleep when it's time for you to be praying on your people's behalf. God's called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. Nobody's going to pray for your daughters like you're going to pray for them. Brittany loves your kids. Do you love his kids?
I love his kids.
Is that convincing? She loves your kids. And she prays for your kids. But she's not going to pray for them like you and Amanda pray for them. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, if you and Amanda are asleep, wake up on your prayer. Wake up on your prayer. Wake up on what God has called you to do. Because let me tell you what this world needs. Let me tell you what they're longing for. Somebody that can settle the difference between them and God. Somebody that can touch the divine and still touch them. Somebody that can stand between with the anointing of the Almighty on their life because they've been with him and they can bring it to where they are and bring deliverance. Wake up on your prayer. Wake up on your prayer. Quit giving prayer requests and not giving them another thought. Pray ye one for another, and that is right. That's right. And we're going to pray for you, but men ought to pray and not faint. Come on back up here. I've got to find a way to touch them while touching him. You know what we've done as a religious body, as a whole? We look at them and say, stop doing that. You need to quit that. Come on, we've heard it for years. There are people right now that will not submit to Jesus because they're afraid they can't quit stuff that their mom and grandma told them they had to quit. Oh, it's true. I'm sorry, I can't get clean enough. I can't get good enough. I can't get rid of this, and I can't get rid of that, and I can't get rid of this. I'm telling you, there's a problem there because you aren't going to get rid of it until you get in touch with him. I know for a fact, I got some things I'm still, even with his help, still fighting to get rid of. Can I get an amen? You ain't going to get clean enough. You ain't going to get good enough. But man, if I can mediate and I can get the world to realize that this king that I serve is nothing but pure love. He's made a sacrifice. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. He ascended for you. He sent his spirit back for you. And one day he's coming back after a bride that's made herself ready. If I can just let them see, there ain't nothing about God that they need to know. God is love. Yes. Yes. He's love. Yes. Time's up. Come on. Means it's over. There's a purpose on your life. There's a purpose on your life. Esther, Go in there and make supplication. She said, hey, everybody fast. Everybody fast. We just came through a month of fasting. Did anybody cheat on your day? Now, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I'll be mad at you for a year. Some scholars believe that's why the Septuagint pointed it out, that she fainted when she went in there. She said, hey, nobody eat or drink for 3 days. Here's where we're at, Jason. The world thinks to serve Jesus is nothing but sacrifice. I'm here to tell you, it's nothing but joy. Are you going to lose some things? Yep. But let's do the cost analysis. You want to do a cost analysis real fast? Let's just make it logical sense. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's some things you're going to lose and there's some things he's going to give. I found out a long time ago, he gives life and he took death. He gave joy and he took sorrow. He gave healing and he took all my diseases. He took and the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, there ain't nothing like this Jesus that I serve. There ain't nothing. Can't nobody do you like Jesus can. You got lost kids? You got lost kids? Start praying. You got lost kids? Hey, we're having 3 nights of services right in a row. Beg them. Please, please, please. You won't even have to come on Mother's Day if you come. Bargain with them. Make deals with them. Why? Because I don't get much into eschatology. I don't. I don't get much into end time stuff. I don't. You know why? Because I think I'm going to do the same thing if he's coming back tomorrow or he's coming back 10 years from now. I'm going to do the same thing. But I do think that we need a little bit rattled. Because what's going to happen is tomorrow is going to turn into 10 years. Shane, you want to hear something make you sad? I'm going to tell you anyway. He said no. Let me rephrase that. Shane, I'm going to tell you something make you sad. Me and Tracy are driving down the road, and we're talking, and she says, you know, it ain't going to be long. Shane's going to be walking Sophie down the aisle. And I went, that's true. That's so true. And I know he's sitting there thinking, nah, it'll be a long time. Yeah, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Because tomorrow turns into 10 years quick. And I don't know about y'all, but once I graduated, everything is fast forward. It was like the 12, 13-year depression counting kindergarten. It was a bad time in my life. But, man, once I got out of there, it was like somebody hit fast forward. Somebody asked me the other day, a guy my age, he looked at me and said, man, what's this? I said, oh, that gray, that's wisdom. He said, well, you're a lot smarter than I am. It moves quick. It moves quick. So if we're going to be praying, we need to start praying. If we're going to be fasting, we need to be fasting. If we need to get everything cleared up between us and him so that we can have power to touch them, and that ministry of reconciliation you were talking about this morning is on us. That's on us. He said, I beseech ye. Be ye reconciled to God. You know what beseech means? I beg you. I'm pleading with you. Be ye reconciled to God. Amen. Come on, Aaron. Where you at? I love you. And I pray for your son-in-law. I do. I pray for him all the time. But I don't pray for him like you pray for him. I love you, Sherry. I love you. And I pray for your family. But I don't pray for your family like you pray for your family. But here's what's scary. If you're not praying for your kids now, who is? So let me tell you something sad, too. Little Millie running around here in that cute little hat. Man, did y'all see her up here worshiping a while ago? Man, she was getting it. She was getting it, man. One day there's going to be this ugly little boy standing up at an altar. He's going to have patchy beard. She's going to say, oh, he's so beautiful. And you're going to look at him, you're like, I don't know, man. Kid ain't, can't even grow a whole beard. Huh? Oh, you're okay with that? Because you can't either. Okay, gotcha. Well, there'll be a boy up there clean shaven. And they're going to ask you, they're going to say, who gives this girl? And you're going to look over and little Billy is going to be. Dustin, pray for her now. Because nobody in this room is going to pray for her like you're going to pray for her. What's your schedule like? What you got going on? Look in your schedule and see when you can. Here's what I want you to put. Pick a time and put, pray for my people. Now, if everybody in this room was praying for your people, what do you think's going to happen? Oh, come on, I want to convict you. You've asked for prayer and you've not prayed. You've walked out and you forgot. You got busy. You can't be too busy for this. Esther dropped everything that was going on. She was willing to risk her life so the enemy would not destroy her people. The enemy did not destroy her people because she went to the king. I got to say that one more time. Man, we need some reports. I'm sorry, the devil didn't destroy my people because I've been to the king. I know he thought he had a plan, but his plan was overcame because I went to the king. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to somebody. We're going to sing a song. This is what we do. Every service, we sing a song at the end of preaching. If you need prayer, step out, step up. If you'd like for us to join with you and start praying for your people right now. Well, I'll start tomorrow. Don't start tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. That's when you're starting your diet. You got too much stuff to start tomorrow. It's Monday, y'all. It's Monday. You know when people that go on diets get real excited? When the first falls on a Monday. Not just the first of the week. It's the first of the month, brand new week. Start right now. Let's do it. As they play right now, would you bow your head? Would you pray right now? Would you start praying for your people right now? Would you start interceding right now? If you got people that are lost in your family, would you pray for them right now? Because, man, they have no idea what they're missing. They got a misconception about who God is. They got a misconception. It's a misunderstanding. He's greater than that. He's bigger than that. He has a purpose. He has a relationship. Oh, if you'd like to pray at the altar for your family, you can do that too. But don't sleep on your prayer. Don't rest on your prayer.